Before we proceed, we'll have a scripture reading from John chapter 3, verses 1 downwards. John chapter 3 says, there was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, that no man can do these things, for no man can do these things, these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every man that is born of the Spirit. 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not in him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So verses many. 20 and 21. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the right, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Father John, read this in our local language, Chichewa, John chapter 3, from verses 1 up to 21.
Yohane mudu wa jitawabu, ingine ya kiwamba, Yesu wa kuzisa nikodumo za kubadwa wa tsobano. Kwa mabalari mwa parisi, zina la ashiku nikodemu, mfungu wa ida. Yehu, alisa kwa Yesu siku, maati kwa ida. Babu, kisi wakuti imani na kuzisi wakuti na kakulu.
Yesu anayangana ati kwa iye. Inde tu mjine na ndini. Dati mundu saka domuku kano sako za kuona ufumu wa mungu. Nikodemu anani na kwa iye. Mungu sa kwa iye kukadla. Adagalamba. Kuni akoza kulowa nso mimba ya masu kukadla. Yesu anayangana. Kiletu ni mtu mmoja Kutero, kani yese ubadwa mwanzini. Nikodemu, kani yese. Izi zina chingulazi. Anaya ntanati kwa hiyo. Kuduli mfuzisi wa Israeli. Nikusuzi wa isi. Nito, kina mfulashimene kisi zio. Nibu, tumuwa utashuona. Nibu, kutuwa kumuwa. Kwa usipano, nibu simu kubinda. Muza kubi ila kwaji nga linduku uzani za kumamba. Ana kwa kumamba, kumaiye, wotikayo. Tupi ila kumamba, ndiye mwana wa mtu. Wokala kumambayo. 14. Ndipo munga mwase, ana kutanduka nchimurulu. Yoteyo, mwana wa mtu, aye nila kukwezewa. Kutiyense, wakubi ila akarina wa mwoyosa ta maiye. Pakuti mulungu, ana kwa jibu la bani. Kutero kuti, anapasa mwana wache ubadwa eka. Kuti yense, wakukubi za iye, akataiki, umakari nao mwyosa ata. Pakuti mungu, sana tumu mwana wache, ziko la pansi, kuti akamuruzi. Ziko la pansi, kumakuti, ziko la pansi, kuti kapurumusi kwe ndiye. Wakukubi za iye, sawerusiwa. Mwosa kukubi ila, wawerusiwa nga kari sobano. Chifuwa saku, njila zina la mwana ubadwa eka wa mungu. Kuma chwe kusiro ndichi, kuti, kunika kunaza kutziko la pansi, jibu andu anakonda ndima, kukosa kunika. Pakuti shito zao zinyari zoipa, kwente. Pakuti yese wakuchita zoipa, ata nanako kunika, jibu saa kuza kwa kunika, kuti zinga susiro nchito zaache. Kuma wakita chwanani, aza kukunika, kuti shito zaache, zionekele kuti zinashikidwa mamulungu. Amen.
Let us open our hymn book songs and we'll sing Psalm number 65 about Christ dying for his own people, about his church, about him being a good shepherd of his own. I'm without compromise.
Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and look together again in Colossians chapter 1 as we're studying through this epistle of Paul to the Colossians. And my text today is from verse 15 down to verse 20. And I want to speak with you on the preeminence of Christ. The word preeminence, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means one that surpasses all others in greatness, in power, in excellence, and in every way, above all. The Jesus that men preach in modern religion today is not a preeminent Christ. He's one that is in man's hands and waiting for men to do something for him. That's not the Christ of Scripture.
Yes, uno amene zimembezo zikumulalikira makono ano. Si Yesu wa Bible yaye. Chifukwa ndi Yesu amene ali wofoka, amene ali manja mwa anthu, amene anthu ndi mphamvu zawo, na amene amamuyendetsa Yesu wawoyo. So, ndi wosiyana ndi Yesu wa buku lopatulika.
Here is a great scripture in Revelation chapter 4. And verse 11 that describes the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 4 and verse 11.
Mwajisanzo mwere ngabukula achi vumbrucho mtu 4 di meyake ya leveni. Ama fotokosela za mpambu ukuru nikuda kuita kwa Yesu Kristo.
It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Verse 11, yachivumbulutso kuti fola amati, muyenera inu, Ambuye wathu, ndi Mulungu wathu, kulandira ulemerero, ndi ulemu, ndi mphamvu, chifukwa mudalenga zonse, ndipo Mwachifuniro chanu zinakhala zinalengedwa.
So here in Colossians chapter 1, in verses 15 down to verse 20, we see the description of how the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent.
Ndeno tinalenga buku la Kolose kuti oyamba 15 ulekeza 20, tikaona mene Yesu Kristu akumufotokozera monga wamphamvu yonse ndi wodabwitsa.
Now we're going to read this first, and as we read it, see if you can find the different descriptions. I've noted five that I'm going to, by God's grace, bring out in this message. Five descriptions of how the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent.
Ndeno tikawerenga ndime zimene zizi kufika 20, nje inyo muone muyanganepo ngati papezeka mphamvu zonse ndi kudabwitsa kwa Yesu Kristu. Koma ine ndifuna ndikalankhule zinthu zisanu zimene zikuonetsera poyera kufotokozera mphamvu ndi ukulu wa Yesu Kristu.
The first thing we see here in verse 15, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?
choyamba chibonelera kudimaka 15 imena kuti amena alifanizo la Mulungu saonekayo kukapaza Yesu wobadwa oyamba wachirengedwe chonse.
Then verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Nimana 60 kuti pakuti mwaiye ninaiswe mweyo zinalengedwa zose za mwamba ndizapadziko zooneka ndisosaonekazo kapena mipando yachifumu kapena maufumu kapena maukulu kapena maulamuliro zinthu zose zinalengedwa mwa iye ndi kwa iye.
Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Ndimaka 17, ndipo iye ali woyamba wa zose, ndipo zose zigwizana pamodzi mwa iye.
And then verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, and here's the key word, he might have the preeminence.
Ndimaka 18, ndipo iye ali mudwa thupi ekeleziyayo ndiye chiyambi woyamba obadwa woyamba wotuluka mwa akufa kuti akakhale iye mwa zonse woyambayamba.
Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Ndimaka 19, pakuti kudakomela Atate kuti mwa iye chidzalo chonse chikhalire.
And then the final verse we're going to look at, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Mwa Yesu kuyanjanitsa zinthu zonse kwa iye mwini atachita mtendere mwa mwazi wa mtanda wake mwa yetu kapena za madziko kapena za mwamba.
I don't know where we can find any more clearer description of our Lord Jesus Christ than what's described here in these few verses.
Sindikudziwa kuti paliso pena pamene ndikhoza kufotokozera kuti Yesu ndi ndani ndi mphamvu zake koposa somabvisa amenera werenga lero amene ndizifungulo zenezene zimene zikufotokozera kuyambayamba kwa Yesu Khristu.
We run into people all the time who profess a Jesus, and I'm always ready to ask them, well, is that one that you profess the Christ of Scripture?
Do
you realize that back in Christ's day, even as today, the name Jesus is very popular. There are many men that take that name Jesus. There are many, perhaps it's not the custom there in Malawi, but there are many that even name their children Jesus. That's the Hispanic term for Jesus.
Hmm. Mumaiwa kunja kuno, alipo nituwa mbaba chama kwa anawa umao chambula uri Jesusi. Agati Jesusi, ndi uri kuna nado Yesu. Umachula anawa zina lori Yesu, alipo mbaba mbaba zimenezo ozo.
If you named your child Joshua, that name is the Hebrew name for Jesus. It's the same name in Greek. Jesus, in Hebrew, Joshua. But that's why the Lord Jesus, as a man, distinguished himself, and in the preaching of the apostles, they identified him as the Jesus of Nazareth, that one that was came from Nazareth. And the reason they were so precise is because there were many who called themselves Jesus, but this Jesus of Nazareth was a term of derision, of scorn. Just like today, the name of Jesus is on the lips of many, many, many people who consider themselves to be Christian, but the question is it the Jesus, the Christ of Scripture?
And
I will tell you that just as that name, Jesus of Nazareth, was a term of derision, they said, can anything good come from Nazareth? So today, the Christ of Scripture is a derision to people who profess to believe on Him. They don't know this Christ. The Jesus of today is not preeminent. He does not have all authority. He is subject to man's will. That's what they believe. The Jesus that men profess today is one that you must give him the permission to save you, otherwise he can't. That's what they believe.
Yes. Yes, so I'm going to come to the Gravano. I'm going to give you a good one. Kuraka Kurumuse. Then we all put in the house. Mugamana Sakurumusa. What do you say? What do you say? I'm going to come to the Kurumuse. I'm going to come to the Kurumuse.
Such a Jesus is nothing but an idol. An idol is something that man holds in his hands and manipulates. That's how they have a Jesus. It's an idolatry. It's an idol god.
Yes, no, ameneyo. Amena manegira pakuzako, kuti nokukulandirani, ndachinokuwirani bwerani kare mwanga, CS wa Bible. Mama Yesu ameneyo ndi fano. Apo mati fano, ndi chinthu chinenzi chonse, chimene chimanegira pakuzako kuchitenge, chimene wewe umachita kuchilamulira kumapanga, kuchipangitsa kuti chipange zinthu. Yesu ameneyoyo ndi fano lenileni.
What a difference the description that we have here of the Lord Jesus Christ given by the Spirit of God through Paul. So the first thing here that we see by way of description is that he is the image of the invisible God. Verse 15. Colossians 1.
Choya mbira chibere kuchiona cha Yesu wa Bible. Ndichakuti Yesu amene yoyo ndifanizo alifanizo wa Mungu kumasongosaoneka.
That's an amazing statement right there. That Jesus that walked on this earth over 2,000 years ago is the exact likeness, because that's what it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the exact likeness of the unseen God. Do you realize that this is why God, all the way back there in the Old Testament, when he established his covenant with Israel, the very first commandment he gave was what? Thou shalt not have any other gods before me, and thou shalt not make any image or likeness of God.
Did you forget it? Pamela Mungwana for a Wazira Israeli, Kurabu Ziwe, Mulungwa Mwamba. Mose Mogaranga Mulova Pi, Ada Zafasiva Puti, Lamuloyava, Usavembeze Mulunguina, Goma Ineneka. Lazuili.
The reason he gave that commandment is, first of all, knowing the idolatry of men's hearts. They're going to make a god out of anything. That's part of our depravity. But secondly, the reason that God gave that commandment is because this was to be reserved for his son. When his son would come in the flesh, he would be in the image of the invisible God.
Kwa mtu chifuwele chikulu, chimele mungu wada vile gira la mungu limene lija. Nchifuwele na kuna mtu sasibangile mungu wala kwa kumeleleka. Nchifuwele na kuna mungu wama ziwi latu. Uliwa yuwi na mene aza kare wafana na zine, amene aza kare Yesu mwana wanga. Ndeni sunge zina liya luwadele za sababa ngeisi, chifuwa kumwela Yesu chikulina, amene aza kumwela mziwa wako, azaone na munga ineyo.
I will tell you, there are many, many idolaters that are professing Christians. I say professing. They profess to be Christ, and yet they're nothing but idolaters.
Goma asali a Kristu, goma kutibangira woka mafano, amena kama panga, amoneka ngara kurumi ila murungu, nima kona zimba kata Kristu.
Now there are many religious images that people have either wearing a cross around their neck or putting on the wall or some visible pictures of a so-called Jesus that they have in their places of worship. That's idolatry. There were artists back in Christ's day, and had he so desired, he could have had them draw pictures of himself or paint pictures that would be passed down through the generations, but he didn't do that because he alone is the image of the invisible God. So if you have any such pictures or objects, go ahead and take them down and burn them, because it's nothing but idolatry. Here it's very specific. He is the very visible representation in the flesh of the invisible God. He's no longer with us, so we wait to see him as he is, but he is who God has purposed that should be the reflection of his glory in a body. You see, this was what caused the anger of those who were still in blindness in Christ's day, the fact that he, being a man, made himself equal with God, said he was God. You may remember a conversation that our Lord had with his disciples on this very matter, because even for them it was by revelation that they were to see that this was God in the flesh. This is why natural minds can't embrace this truth that he's God in the flesh because they ate with him. They walked with him. They spoke with him. They slept with him. When he slept, they slept. And yet he was God in the flesh. Outwardly, he looked like any other man that was walking around Jerusalem. He didn't have a halo or some light shining above his head that identified him as God in the flesh. What if a man walked in right now in your midst, right there, and sat down, and you asked him to identify himself, and he told you he was from heaven, and that his Father in heaven had sent him, and that he was the visible image of the invisible God? What would you do with him? You and I would do just like they did in Christ's day. They would cry blasphemy that there's no way that God would ever manifest himself in the flesh.
Yes.
But here was one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that walked with these disciples, and the reason they followed him was only because by his Spirit he had revealed himself in them, and therefore they believed on him. But they, just like us, we need to be taught. And that's why here in John 14, in verse 8, you can see Philip, one of his disciples, asking him, saying unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And then verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?
Amen.
And Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So that's the very first way in which Christ is preeminent. He is God of very God. He is the image of the invisible God. It doesn't even require for somebody to have an actual image in front of them to be an idolater. And getting back to what men profess today, and why I said earlier that these that profess to be Christians are nothing but idolaters, because in their minds they have formed an idea of who Jesus is according to what they've been told by their preachers and others, but it's an idol. He's nothing like what we find here revealed in the scriptures. To know the Christ of Scripture, it must be by the revelation of Christ and His Spirit to the heart. That's the only way we can know Him as He is here in Scripture. Now, when it says that He is the image of the invisible God, what it is saying there is that every attribute of God is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ as a man. Every attribute. In that same chapter that we just read in John 14 and verse 6, the Lord had just said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's describing himself as God. John, in describing him in chapter 1 and verse 14, said this as well, that the Word, that's God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, notice, full of grace and truth. Those are attributes of God.
Ifo yaje Yohane mu mfuno kuzera mulungu mene amaonekera akumuonetsera ku Yohane 1:14 imene akuti ndipo mawu anasandulika thupi kulangira zvari mulungu anadzisandulizwa yekha kukhala thupi nakhazikika pakati pa ife ndipo tinaona ulemerero wache ulemerero wonga ubadwa yekha wa Atate wodzala ndi chisomo ndichoonadi.
What that means is if any sinner is to know God in truth, it must be in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Period. I know that this strikes people in a wrong way because when you say that, they think about all of the people of the world who are in religions, who know nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't even profess Him. And they ask the question, are you telling me that all of those are condemned? And the answer is yes, because it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that any sinner is going to have entrance to God.
Amen.
Kulangulatu mawuli awa, atu mudzawa sokoleza kudziko la pasi. Ndipo mtazera mkulaji wa chwataza kufusa ni mafuso. Kodi mwoli niyo mfuno lina kudiziko lose la pasi atuwa changuwa kusa, amina magalikile za mungua. Mwoli sose zimina magalikile atuwa zabota, zeni zeni zimene mkamba inuyo, atuwa chakunama, ya mkumko wa uzeli inde, ama nama. Chifukwa, kulibe mtu, amina kwezo tuwa mungu, ngarisa zera ma Yesu. Kuna uchenga wabu na weniweni, ulimwezo Kristu yeka. Zosu zimena kata pozitana, si Yesu, nishipembezo yonyega, nifano la iwo eni.
But then you narrow down even more to all those in the world who profess to be Christian, and yet the Christ that they profess is not the Christ of Scripture. It's an idol, Jesus, one they've made up in their minds. Do you mean to tell me that all those are perishing as well? And again, the answer is yes. Apart from the clear revelation of this Christ to the heart of a sinner, none will know God. Is it any wonder that those of us in whom God has been pleased to reveal His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, we meet in such small numbers? Because the preeminence is with Christ to reveal Himself to whom He will.
But
this is the Christ that we worship. He's the image of the invisible God. We only know God, because it pleased God to reveal this Christ in us. But notice here in Colossians 1:15, the second description of Christ. It says he's the image of the invisible God, and then we see this expression, the firstborn of every creature. So in this we see his preeminence, not only that he is the image of the invisible God, but secondly, when it says the firstborn of every creature, that is another way of saying the heir of all things. In the Mideastern culture over there where Israel is, the firstborn child of any family was the heir. So when the father died, all of the inheritance went to the firstborn. There are a few countries left in the world that have kings that are in power. I'm thinking specifically of England, the Queen of England. She has been reigning for many, many, many years, but there is a firstborn that is heir to that throne. Once she dies, that firstborn takes the throne. So here when it says that Christ is the firstborn of every creature in Colossians 1:15, it's not saying, it does not mean that he was the first of creation or the first creature made. You see, there's some, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. They really aren't, but that's the title they've taken. And they believe that Christ was not God, that he was an angel that God created and then adopted as his son. But he was not God. That's what they believe. And they'll use a verse like this to try to prove that, the firstborn. We know that's not the meaning because in verse 16, the next verse, for by him were all things created. So if he was a created being, how could he himself create anything else? I'm a created being, but I can't create anything.
Amen.
No, by describing Christ as the firstborn of every creature, the Spirit of God, through Paul, is declaring him that he is king, he is the Lord, and he is the owner of everything that exists. He is God. Here again is where natural-minded sinners are in rebellion, because they want the authority, they want the power, they want the decision, and yet none of that is theirs. There is one over all who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who determines all things. He determines who he'll save, he determines who he'll condemn. That's what it means to be the firstborn. It is his right. And look how thorough in verses 16 and 17 this describes. There's nothing that is not under his dominion. It says all things that are in heaven, that's all the angels and all that pertains to God and his glory, or that are in earth, whether visible and invisible, even demons, the invisible spirit world, whether they be thrones among men or dominions or principalities or powers, all, the word things is in italic, all were created by him and for him. And notice verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Mfanya mwaleka mesaka 16 to 17, 16 akuti, bakulimwa iye kwenye suyo, zila lengedwa, zonse za mwamba. Kuleta wala angero ose ya lengedwa ndiye, kaya mafumu, nikena kalikose kama mwapamu, mbile kumwapamu kuma unikela, ada lengedwa ndiyeyo. Ndisa matiko, kuleta wala matiko lose, kena kalikose kama mwese kama tiko, ada lengedwa ndiyeyo. Tisa oneka, ndizo sa oneka. Kuleta wala ndikezi wanda, ada zirenga ndiyeyo, kuli zikare matiko la basi, zizizu za watu, zizijina zindu matiko la basi, ada zirenga ndiyeyo, Yesu yo, zikalebu ziwanda. Kapena mivandu ya kifumu, kapena maufumu, kapena maukuru, kapena maulamuliro. Zitu zose, zidarengi na kwa iye, ni kwa iye. Zizemeti, ni kwa iye aliwo yamba wa zose. Ivo zose, zikwiza na famozi wa iye.
The modern day Jesus that men profess today is not the Christ of Scripture. The Jesus that men profess naturally today is not one that reigns. He's not on the throne.
Yes, Sutu Amene.
Those who profess to be Christians today around the world believe that Jesus, their Jesus, is in a power struggle with men and with the devil and with the world.
Yes,
That's why they organize these so-called prayer meetings, because they feel like they got to help out their Jesus. They got to get more people on his side to fight the devil. But the Lord Jesus Christ, described here as the firstborn of every creature, the heir, the one who is heir to the throne, he has all things in his hands, even the devil and even the most wicked of men, to do with what he will. The devil cannot even lift a finger, but what the Lord Jesus gives him the authority. A lot of people like to say, well, he gives them permission. No, the authority comes from Christ. Even the wicked men who took the Lord Jesus Christ and crucified and slew him, it was by his determining, according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. They couldn't drive one nail into his hand or put the spear in his side, but what he authorized it.
Yes. Anga kare antu oipa, amene akamupa Yesu Kristu kumkomera pamtanda, adachida kupatsidwa mulayi ndi danga ndi Mulungu kuti aphedwe apange zimenezo. Chifukwa mukalenga machikhulupiriro cha Abrahamu 2:23, amanena kuti zonse zimene zidachitika zidachitika ndi mfumu oyikidwa inatu ndi Mulungu. Ndipo Mulungu adachita kupangiratu anthu amene adakamupheya akapereke akapitire chipongwe kuti akwanilitse ndekena kalikonse amachita kupanga ndi Mulungu kuti kakuchitikire kakuchitikire Yesu.
He himself, in praying to his Father there in the garden before he went to the cross in John 17:2, thanked the Father. He glorified the Father that the Father had given him, there's the word, authority as the firstborn above every creature, the authority over all flesh to give eternal life unto as many as the Father had given him.
Nifanye Yesu Kristu asada apewe pamtanda, ada apemphera Yohane chapter 17:2. Pamene amati, monga mwapatsa ye ulamuliro, kunatene adapatsa mphamvu ndi ulamuliro, patupitira lililonse, kuti onse amene mwapatsa iye awapatse iwo moyo wosatha. Kunatene moyo udaperekedwa kwa okhawo, amene Mulungu adawapanga kuwasankha kumupatsa Yesu kuti awapatse moyo wosatha.
Why is it that any sinners are saved? It's because he has the authority to give eternal life unto many, as many as the Father has given him. It was for them that he came as a man in the flesh and laid down his life to redeem those that the Father had given him. Were he not God, he would have no authority to do that. But he is God. Therefore, all the authority in the saving of sinners is in his hand.
Yes, akazadwa thupi kuti akaonekere thupi nakakumana ndi anthu kudziko la thupilo kuti akawatenge kwapitisa mdziko la uzimu kuti akapulumutsidwe kodi kuti Mulungu mwini adachita kudzika mbeno zayekha kukhala mthupi kuti akakumana ndi okhawo amene Mulunguyo adawadziwira ali kukwasankha ndi kupulumutsa okhawo kodi kuti cholinga chokatera mthupi Yesu
That's why any of us that He has saved, we give Him all the glory.
Yes.
You say, what about those that are condemned? Well, it's by the same authority that He has purposed to condemn sinners for their sin, and rightly so. He doesn't owe salvation to any. Well, we've seen two of the five descriptions of Christ and His preeminence. The Lord willing, we'll pick up with verse 18 and go down through verse 20 next time and look at the rest. But you can see the three that remain in verse 18. We see His preeminence because it says He is the head of the body, the church. And then you can see the fourth description there in verse 18 as well, where it says Christ is the beginning. In other words, the root or the foundation of the church. And then the final description that we see there is that Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Okay, so those are what we're going to look at next time, the Lord willing, and I pray that the Lord would bring His blessing to what we've heard so far today.
We are so thankful to God because of this time of worship, Brother Ken. And I don't know what I can say. Because I remember when he was talking about the church, that is not the building, but it's the elect. And he was talking about Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. And today, we are still looking unto it about Christ and Him crucified. We are so thankful to God because of the time of the worship. For sure, this God has given to Malawi for this season and time.
Amen.
For its purpose.
It's for all of us, yes.
And with this, glory and honor be unto Him. Who sing our local language, song hymn number 96. In our local language, 96. Sati dwazo, se
Oh, yeah,
What a beautiful song which speaks about what Christ has done. He devoted himself. He was tormented. He was bruised. He was crushed. He was crucified on the cross because of my sins. And every work, what was needed, Christ accomplished it on the cross. From that day, no any other work, no another good work that is needed from me, that Christ left it for me to accomplish. No any other work. It was on the cross, a man of sorrow, whereby he received all the things that were worthy for me to be saved. What a comfort. We are so thankful to God because this time that we had. Let me just hand over the microphone again to you, Brother Ken, so that you can look to God in prayer as we are closing the service of today.
Let's look to the Lord together. Gracious Father, we're humbled that you would consider such wretched sinners as we are and be pleased to send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, the firstborn of all of creation, the very visible image of you, the invisible God, and that by him and your grace alone and his finished work alone, that we should be considered to be joint heirs with him before you. We could never, ever thank you enough or praise you enough for such a grace, knowing that there are many, many, many that you have passed by, and rightly so, ourselves being deserving in the same way of condemnation, and yet it pleased you to lay our sin upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he should bear it away, that we should have this good hope of enjoying your presence forever through your blessed Son. I thank you for these dear brethren with whom we meet across the world. It's a reminder that you do have your elect, you have your sheep for whom Christ has paid the debt, and that you must call. And if today we're worshiping you in truth through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the praise and honor and glory belongs to you through him. And so we thank you, and we ask that you would ever keep our eyes on him. We live in a vicious world. We live in a world of opposition to this very one who is your glory. And yet, may none of that deter us. In fact, we live in a flesh that this flesh goes contrary to who he is and what he's accomplished. But in all that, I thank you that your blessed Son is sovereign, he's king, he rules over all, and that nothing can keep him from accomplishing that which you have purposed that he should do. And that throughout eternity, all the praise and honor and glory will be to his name. So we commend each one to you and thank you for these precious moments in worship. And we ask for your continued blessing. In Christ's precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.